Money Plan SOS Podcast, Episode 10. Coming from my microphone directly into your ear, it's the Money Plan SOS Podcast with your humble servant financial coach, Steve Stewart, helping you focus on your money in order to pay off debt, save for emergencies, and give like never before. I'm so excited about this episode as, well, you guys know I'm always excited about podcasting, but I'm really excited about this one. I've been thinking about Episode 10 for a while because there's always been a theme in the back of my mind on what I should do in this episode. So today's topic, and I won't do a Holla from the Impala segment or anything else like that. We're just going to stick with the main topic for the entire duration of the show. And the title of the show is, Should I Tithe While in Debt? See, that's the name of an article I wrote last July, and it's the second most popular post I've had to date. And being that this is episode 10 of the Money Plan SOS podcast, it just seemed the right thing to do, you know, discuss tithing. So first of all, we need to start off with, you know, the definition of a tithe. You know, what is a tithe? A tithe means a tenth, or 10%. And according to Webster's Dictionary, it is to pay or give a tenth part of, especially for the support of the church. And that's the general belief that's out there. 10% of your income is to be donated to your local church. So, you know, here I am, a guy who's gung-ho on you know, you putting every dollar that you can squeeze out of your income to eliminate debt. So what do you think I'm going to say about tithing? Well, before I give you my answer, we need to have a discussion on what a tithe is. So the beliefs in tithing are most people believe you should tithe because you're a Christian. So if you're a Christian, we're having this discussion. If you're not, you know, I encourage you to keep listening. But, you know, for most people, the belief in tithing is that you should tithe because you're a Christian. And many Christians believe you should tithe because it's the right thing to do. But is that really what God is saying here?
You know, here's a percentage, a set percentage rate that everyone should be able to understand and all Christians must follow or you won't go to heaven.
Is that what God's saying here? So many people think this is some kind of a salvation issue, and it really isn't. It's a belief thing or a faith thing. The Bible says in Malachi, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's Malachi 3:10. And it sounds like a challenge to me. God actually says, test me in this. Test me in this. I mean, wow, that's awesome. So if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in God, if you believe He is all-powerful, then we have to believe it when He says He will pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. But this isn't a way to get some big payoff or buy your way into heaven. It's God asking us to be faithful, especially when it's hard, and checking to see how well we do. And again, this is not to test us. For example, do you have kids? If you have kids, you might know what I'm talking about. You want to give them everything, but you don't want to be doing everything for them forever. Eventually, they'll have to grow up and be independent, you know, for their own good. As they grow, you begin to stop doing certain things for them. You take off the training wheels just to see how they will do. And, you know, if you've had that experience, then I bet you felt an incredible sense of pride, and you probably rewarded them with some ice cream or something special, even though they were just doing what they would eventually start doing on their own anyway. See, I remember when my daughter started saying her first words, and all I wanted to do is keep rewarding her with more Cheerios. You know, and I find myself wanting to give my daughter, you know, more as she starts doing really cool grown-up things that she probably would have started doing by herself anyway without me there. And that's how I see the tithe. It's God asking me to be a grown-up with my money without the training wheels on. Giving 10% has nothing to do with how much He loves me or whether I'll go to heaven or not. And He doesn't need my money. He just wants me to grow up to be more like He is, giving and caring and full of grace. And that He'd be the dad like I am, that every time I see somebody doing something good, I just want to reward them with more. So I'll bet you're beginning to figure out what my answer will be on whether you should tithe or not. But, you know, it's not my money. This is one topic that I will not tell you what you have to do with yours to succeed. I'll just give you some guidance that I've learned from myself. So that's what a tithe is, and you've got to, you know, look at yourself and decide, is this something that you feel you should be doing? And again, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you do believe that you should be tithing, you know, what do you tithe on? So here's a big list of things that you know, people ask about, saying, well, okay, you know, do I tithe on this or do I tithe on that? So I actually have 10 things here that we should discuss. You know, what do you tithe on? So the first thing is your income. Yes, you tithe on your income. 10% of your income is what a tithe would be. And it's only 10%. I remember something that a former minister of mine, Ben Merrill, once said: your credit card interest rates have gone up, your taxes have increased, thank God the tithe stands at only 10%. I totally agree. Number two, on my gross or the net of my income. So now we've got to do a quick definition here. What is the gross and net of your income? Gross income is the total amount of money that you've earned before taxes were taken out, or 401k savings, or health premiums, or anything else that comes out of your check. Net would be what you get to bring home. So again, the question is, do you tithe 10% on your gross or your net? Well, the Bible says first fruits, which leads me to believe it's first. So that'd be like before, you know, the consideration for 401k savings or taxes or anything like that. So that's how I vote. You know, I vote on the gross. Besides, if I'm wrong, then at least when I get there, I won't be in the red. Number three, business income. Do you tithe on business income, the money that the business brings in? No. You do not have to tithe on what your business brings in. There's a lot of expenses in running a business, and God asks us to tithe, not a business. So the money you bring home from the business, you know, that money that you bring home from the business, you would tithe on, but not the money that the business brings in. For example, I've been a mobile DJ for 25 plus years, and the money that that small business brings in goes into the business account, and it's not tithed on. You know, some of that is used to pay for the business expenses, like new equipment or travel expenses. However, when I bring home money out of that business account, I tithe on that. Now, if you feel like you're called to tithe from your business income, go right ahead. I don't want to dissuade anyone from giving too much, because that's the opposite of one of my core values. Number four, tax refunds. Do you tithe on a tax refund? Well, it depends. We have to go back to the gross or net discussion. Did you tithe on your gross or your net? If you tithe on your gross, then no. If you tithe on your net, then yes. And let me explain to you why. Let's do some quick math. Let's say you gross $100,000 and you are in a 20% tax bracket. Well, you would need to withhold $20,000 over the course of a year. 20% of $100,000 is $20,000. That would be your tax bill. Okay, but if instead you withheld $25,000 from your payroll check, you would get a $5,000 refund. Now, if you tithe on the gross $100,000 and you gave 10%, then you wouldn't need to worry about tithing on the tax refund, because you've already tithed on the total, the $100,000. Now, if you decided that tithing on the net is all you needed to do, and you only tithed on the net, then in this scenario, you based your tithe on the amount you brought home, which was only $75,000, because remember, you had $25,000 withheld for taxes. So when you bring home an extra $5,000 that you should have brought home anyway, that was income that you just left in the pockets of the government for a year until you could actually get it back from Uncle Sam. So if you only tithe on the net, then you would have to tithe on a tax refund. Number five, what if my tax refund was based on the earned income credit? Okay, now we're getting into taxes, and I'd really like to save this topic for another day. The short of it all is to consider what you would use that refund for, and you should arrive at your own answer. I'll give you a hint. You're probably going to use that money for your household, just like income. So, number six, shall I tithe on my retirement income? Yes. I would say yes. In general, yes. There's some times that maybe we could say technically no, but you can ask him what he did with the money when you get there soon. It's a joke. Number seven, gifts. Do you tithe on gifts? No. I don't believe God asks you to tithe on the $20 your Aunt Hilda sent you in your birthday card. You look at it this way. If she had bought you a $20 scarf, you wouldn't tithe on that. I mean, you wouldn't cut off a portion of the scarf and put it in the offering plate. So this gift is for you to have fun with, so you don't have to tithe on gifts. But still, you know, giving is the most fun you'll have with money. So just think about that one for a moment. Number 8, do you tithe on garage sales? You know, money you collect from selling stuff. No, you don't tithe on garage sale stuff. You paid for those items with after-tax dollars, and you're probably already selling them for less than you paid for them, or you got them as gifts from your Aunt Hilda. So no, you know, there's no increase here to tithe on. You don't have to tithe on garage sale stuff. Number 9, do you tithe on the profit from sales of items like collectibles, real estate when there's a gain, investment income, stuff like that? Yes. And Uncle Sam will demand a piece of that too. Number 10, credit card points. Well, what are you still doing with a credit card? Get rid of the stupid thing. Okay, seriously, you know, reward points. Do you tithe on reward points? No. You don't have to tithe on the free sub sandwich you got when you finished your punch card. Prize points work the same way. So those are the 10 main questions I usually get when people ask, you know, well, what do I tithe on? Now, let me give you a practical tip on tithing. You know, when you do give 10%, pay your tithe by check or online. In fact, any giving that you give to a charity, you know, monetary gift to a 501c, anything like that, pay your tithe by check or do it online, but never with a credit card, of course. But do it so that your giving can be tracked. And this is for tax purposes. And I know that sounds a little crass. Here we're giving, but we're also looking to get a tax break. Well, we're definitely not tithing for the tax deduction, but we should deduct it when we itemize on our taxes, and here's why. The money we have has been given to us by God. He gave us the hands, the backs, the knowledge to earn a living, and He has entrusted us to manage our money well. The more we make, the more we should be able to give, and the less we overpay our taxes, the more we have to give. You know, it is just good money management to claim any legitimate deductions we're entitled to. There's nothing morally or legally wrong with tracking our giving and deducting it on our taxes. All right, so back to the original question. Should I tithe while in debt? Mathematically, it seems like we don't even have a choice to tithe at our local church when we're in debt. You know, how do we give money away when we owe it all to Citibank and Sally Mae? You know, the phrase I hear so often is, I can't afford to tithe. Well, I think when we say something like that, we're looking at this wrong. And I'd like to read a paragraph from a book that was given to me by Becky Pagel. She's the director of ministry advancement at St. John Church in Ellisville, Missouri. The book is Fields of Gold by Andy Stanley, just one of the many great short books that he's written. And just a quick note, this book was written in 2004, so this is before the big mortgage meltdown and the Great Recession that we just came out of. And the section I'm in is how he talks about how, you know, we love to hold on to our money during times of fear and things that we can't control, like the market and things like that. So here's the paragraph. Isn't it rational to trust God with your finances since it all belongs to Him? And isn't it rational to trust God with something that's beyond your control anyway? Therefore, doesn't it make it irrational to trust God for your eternal destiny, yet decline His invitation to direct your finances? Wow. Wow. You see, my financial brain says that taking every penny you can get out of your budget and putting it towards the debt would get you out of debt sooner. But God says, test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I mean, that's what He says. And I've seen people blessed in ways that I just can't understand when they start and they continue to tithe. Unexpected promotions, their electric bill paid by an anonymous donor, their debt snowball gets an unexplained boost, and they get out of debt a lot sooner than anyone could have expected. And to top it off, I've seen this happen to non-Christian couples who did not attend church regularly. I also believe the blessings are not always monetary. You know, maybe God blessed me by making me late for work that one day when there was an accident at the intersection I usually go through, or allowing me to celebrate 11 years of marriage with my beautiful bride, or by keeping my little girl safe from sickness and disease. And isn't just being an American a blessing in itself? All right, so there's nothing really quantifiable here that we've been talking about the last minute or two here. So, you know, I'm this math nerd, and there's no line item in the budget for blessings. You know, how do I put that into my Excel spreadsheet? Well, I did it. I came up with an algebraic formula, and this is what that post was based on back in July, and this is one of my favorite things. So here it is. Here's the algebraic formula for blessings. You ready? 90% plus God is greater than 100% minus God. Now, that's not to say that if you don't tithe, God's not going to bless you. I just think that he's going to pour more blessings on you when he sees that you've become more like him, when you're more of a giver. And when you can show that you can manage your money by living on 90% of your income. And I just keep going back to this one scripture in Malachi 3:10 where he says, "Test me. Test me in this." He actually is saying to test him in this. Try it out. My church in January offered a 90-day tithing challenge and said, just go and try it. For 90 days, tithe. Tithe 10% of your income. And if you don't feel the blessings being poured on you after that 90 days, you can ask for your money back, and the church will give you their money back. How cool is that? It's not just me that believes it, or a few people in my congregation, or just, even just the pastor. Our church stands behind this scripture that if you give a tithe, he will pour blessings on you, so many that you won't be able to contain it. So, I'm not telling you to go out there and tithe to get you a bunch of stuff. I just think it's going to be good for you and your relationships, your career. I just think it's going to be good for you. And isn't that what this podcast is all about? So yes, I do believe that you should continue to tithe while in debt. Make it work. God's going to help you through this. All you need to do is have some faith. And it's not all about money anyway, but it is about financial peace. God bless you. One last thing. If you liked this episode, feel free to pass it on to a friend. You can always have them go to the website moneyplansos.com to listen to it there, or they can download it for free on iTunes or the Zune Music Store. And if you like the show so much that you'd like to leave a review, please do so. Leaving a review on iTunes will help this podcast show up faster for others looking for shows on debt freedom. Thanks for listening.